ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 8th कैंटो 19th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 34 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड बेग्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज। क्रमतो गां पदैकेन द्वितीयेन दिवं विभो खं चकायेन महता तार्तियस्य कुतो गतिः। Translation and it's purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vamandev will first occupy the three worlds with one step. Then he will take his second step and occupy everything in outer space. Then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will you offer him the third step? Purport. Shukracharya wanted to tell Bali Maharaj how he would be cheated by Lord Vaman. "You have promised three steps," he said. "But with only two steps, all your possessions will be finished. How then will you give him a place for his third step?" Shukracharya did not know how the Lord protects his devotee. The devotee must risk everything in his possession for the service of the Lord. But he is always protected and never defeated. By materialistic calculations, Shukracharya thought that Bali Maharaj would under no circumstances be able to keep his promise to the Brahmachari Lord Vamandev. We can see that Shukracharya, the guru of demons, the guru of Bali Maharaj, is warning his disciple Bali Maharaj. So we can see the demonic mentality is always selfish. Only the self-interest is in mind, and the ultimate interest of the self, that is to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, is never in picture. So this selfishness also applies to the entourage. First to the self, the selfishness, then to entourage, the disciples, family members, the property, the worldly activities. That's why Shukracharya is stopping his disciple from giving whatever he has promised. So actually, if the disciple doesn't follow what he has promised to the Brahmin, he will go to hell. And if he, according to Shukracharya, if he gives everything to Vamandev, he'll lose everything, again suffer. So Bali Maharaj is a very intelligent, learned and a pure devotee of the Lord. And he is saying that, what is the loss? Even if I lose everything, this is the ultimate opportunity in my life, that a Supreme Lord has taken a disguise and come at my doorstep to beg. What a good fortune. What will I lose? So at that opportune moment, he disobeys his Guru Maharaj and goes ahead. So Prabhupada mentions that one who surrenders at the lotus feet of the Lord is never defeated. He is always victorious. So apparently there is loss from the worldly sense that he lost everything, but he got the ultimate mercy of the Lord. That is the beauty of the process of Krishna consciousness, that we are never the loser. Whether we are, Lord takes away everything, like he says, "Tasyaham anugrahami harishe taddhanam shanai." I will take away everything those whom I love. But when he takes away those things are only unwanted and unbefitting things. So he keeps things what is necessary. He takes away all the unwanted things and he gives his unlimited blessings to a devotee. So that is why we should never hesitate in performing devotional service and performing activities which are sometimes difficult to perform, or offering something which are difficult to offer. We should not hesitate. If the Lord is in front, or the Lord's pure devotee is in front of us, demanding certain things in life, out of their causeless mercy, we should never hesitate in just jumping into the situation. Because if we jump in Maya, the result is unpredictable. But we jump in Sri Krishna in the sense of following instructions, so-called dangerous looking activities, so-called unpredictable looking activities, we don't have to worry anything. Because the Lord is constantly protecting us. As a child is sleeping in the night and the snake comes by and the mother wakes up and chases the snake away or kills the snake away, doesn't even wake up the child that, you know, wake up, I just saved you from a snake. She may never tell the child for years together. So there are so many protections which the Lord is giving us, like the mother is giving to child and not informing, that we don't know that how we are protected. Just because we have taken shelter of Sri Gurudev, we do not know what all things are being, you know, we are saved from. So that faith is the driving force in the devotee's life. And with that faith, the devotee should go on. And in this path, it is said that there is no loss, there is no diminution, and is always gain. So from the Bali Maharaja's example, we can understand that how one should be fearless and should be ready to surrender at all given conditions of life, of conditions of imminent danger or conditions of imminent happiness coming. Irrespective, one should be ready to offer himself or herself to the feet of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. And from Shukracharya's example, we can understand that we should never think of monetary loss or gain when we are performing devotional service. Shukracharya is misguiding his disciple. And with conviction, Bali Maharaj is rejecting his Gurudev. And this kind of rejection is bona fide, because the path of life is to attain the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And if that is being hampered by any personality, even if it is Guru who is hampering that process, one can reject Guru only in this condition. So bona fide Guru Maharaj will never do this. He will always encourage his devotee to surrender more and more, to encourage more and more, to give protection, and to ultimately make him reach the lotus feet of the Lord. So I am grateful to all of you for offering me this opportunity to be with you on this very auspicious day of the appearance of Sita Devi, that is Sita Navami. Also today is the appearance of Ma Janama Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. And also today is the disappearance day of Madhu Pandit, who is one of the close associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the disciple of Gadadhara Pandit. So we would like to describe in brief about these three great personalities. Sita Devi, Maharshi Valmiki. Can you help? Bhagavatam can keep down. Thank you. Maharshi Valmiki, who is the writer of Ramayana, he glorifies Sita Devi as, he says Ramayana is not Ramayana actually, he says, it is Sitayanam Charitam Mahat, the glories of the life of Sita Devi. She was Vedavati in her last life, and Ravan had approached her in a very malicious way, touched her, and she felt she was contaminated. She chanted a mantra and burnt herself and said, I will come again to destroy you because you have destroyed my plan of attaining the Supreme Lord. She was performing severe austerities in the middle of jungle to attain Lord Vishnu as her husband. So she came again in the same yuga. This happened in the same yuga when Ravan was also existing. He was coming from defeating Kuvera. On the way, he saw this beautiful lady. He wanted to enjoy with her. And she, because he touched her, chanted a mantra and burned herself. In next lifetime, in the same yuga, she was born in Sitamadi. There is a place in Bihar called Sitamadi, where the great virtuous king, King Janak, was plowing his field to perform sacrifices for the welfare of mankind. And that time in the casket in earth, you know, it's called as furrow, he found a beautiful daughter, beautiful girl, golden complexion. And that is why she is called Sita. Because Sita means the furrow in the ground. So she was found in the furrow in the ground in golden casket. So she was called as Sita. After her birth, Janak Raja brought her to Janakpuri, that is Mithila Nagari. That's why she also called as daughter of Janaka, as Janaki, or the prince of Mithila, as Mithila or Maithili. Also, she is called as Vaidehi, because her father's name was Janak, also is Videha, one who had capacity to transcend bodily consciousness. So, she is also called as daughter of Videha, as Vaidehi. Sita Devi is glorified as the epitome of feminine purity, chastity and virtue. She is also glorified as daughter of Bhumi Devi, where she is described as personification of fertility, that is samruddhi, prosperity, abundance and well-being of Mother Earth she represents. Very soon, Janak also received a daughter from his wife called Urmila. And both these daughters were raised in a very, very beautiful, loving, spiritual atmosphere in the palace of King Janaka. And Sita Devi from childhood was very much absorbed in the worship and thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She would amazingly perform various dramas of the life of Supreme Personality of Godhead, which others had difficult time to understand how she knows all these things. One time Parshuram came to visit the house of Janak Maharaj, and he had a bow of Lord Vishnu. And this was an active bow. Why I say active bow? Because there is another bow of Lord Shiva, which was inactivated by Lord Vishnu in the fight between Shiva and Vishnu. That was gifted to King Janaka. But this bow was Vishnu's bow, or Vaishnava bow. So when he came, he just put that bow outside the house of Janak Maharaj and went inside. When he came back, he did not find the bow. So he was worried. But this bow was so heavy that it was not able to be carried by many, many strong men. So wondering how can somebody misplace it from here. And then he saw what? Small Sita, baby Sita, was playing with this Vaishnava bow as a toy. Lifting here, keeping there, tossing, playing around, again keeping it down. So Parshuram was very wonderstruck. He said, this girl is so powerful, you must find a husband who is more powerful than her. You must make a Swayamvar with a condition that only the strongest person on this creation can come and win her hand. And Janak had this Lord Shiva's bow, which was inactivated by Lord Vishnu in the fight. And that was lifted by Lord Ram actually. When Ravan had come to attempt to lift, but he could not lift. Many, many princes had come. But ultimately Lord Ram won her hand and got married. Of course, Sita Devi's life story is very long. We would like to just see the glimpses of her great personality and to learn from her. When she was very happy that Lord Ramchandra was going to become king, and the whole Ayodhya was rejoicing the previous evening, the eve of the Abhishek of Lord Ram, and she was so very happy decorating herself like her mother-in-laws and everybody. But Lord Ramchandra was told by Kaikeyi that you cannot get enthroned. My son will become, Kaikeyi said that my son will become king and you will have to go to forest. So Lord Ramchandra was feeling great difficulty in telling Sita Devi how to disturb her in this happiness. But she said, what I am going to tell you, please bear it with patience. And said, I am supposed to go to forest and I am not going to become king. So it is explained in Ramayana that she was not unhappy with this statement. Of course, in one sense she was, because her most qualified husband was supposed to become king. Is not becoming king. But Ramayana explains that she was unhappy because Lord Ramchandra did not want to take her to the forest. And she said she has not spoken many times. She has spoken on few occasions, very powerful statements, instructive statements, inspiring statements. She said, when I married with you in Mithila, I did not marry with you just to stay in palace. Because this princess has never even put their foot down on the ground. That is their opulence, the way they are brought up. He said, I did not marry. I have taken a vow to share with you my sorrows and pleasure equally. If my husband is in sorrow, the sorrow is shared by me. His happiness, that is shared by me. I am supposed to be subservient to you. He says, without you, the kingdom of Ayodhya will become forest for me, a suffering place. And with you, the forest will become Ayodhya for me, the most enjoying and wonderful place. So I cannot live without you. I cannot imagine living without you. Why are you just trying to leave me behind and go? Are you unhappy with me? Please take me with you. Lord Ramchandra tried to convince her that the forest is infested with wild animals. There are danger at every step. You have to eat roots. You have to maybe walk on thorns, pebbles, and so many unpleasant things will happen. Always there is sounds of voracious animals, danger waiting for us, fights. Why you want to subject yourself? She says, whatever you are going to go through with you, with all those things, is a great pleasure and honor for me. They share all those things with me. So finally, Lord Ramchandra had to agree. Even Lakshman did the same thing, same arguments. So they all have left. So we can see, Prabhupada says that people think that in the world that chastity is slavery. Huh? Subservient to become such a servant, you have to become to husband in Vedic tradition, that is almost like a slave. Prabhupada said it's not slavery, this is protection. Lord Ramchandra, what he did afterwards? He destroyed the whole kingdom of Rakshasas to rescue his wife. He could have killed only Ravan. He destroyed everybody, came himself and rescued her. So this is Krishna conscious life. This is not slavery. This is the epitome of chastity which yields ultimate protection by the Supreme Lord. The power of chastity is so much that, you know the story of Anasuya also, that with her power of chastity she could make the three main gods of this world into children and serve them, fulfilling their condition only by throwing water on them. It is said only by power of chastity, if it is of course not coupled up with Krishna consciousness, one can ascend to Brahma Loka. But to speak of coupling up with devotion to the Lord, one will reach the ultimate destination of the feet of the Lord in Golok Vrindavan. That is the power of chastity, and Sita Devi is epitome of this chastity. How much she suffered for Lord Ram in every condition of life. She never gave up. She never thought, why this should be happened to me? Such a wonderful devotee of my Lord. She always accepted whatever happened with graceful heart. She never even once blamed her husband. Where are you? What are you doing? Why are you coming so late? I am waiting here such a long time, suffering at the hands of these demonesses and Ravana. She always was grateful and sincerely, patiently waiting for her Lord to come. Another time she spoke very wonderful statements were when Hanumanji reached her in the Ashok Vatika. And there he gave the message of Lord Ram. He identified himself, you know, bona fides of his by showing the ornaments. And he said, now you please come. Why should we suffer here in the hands of the demonesses? Instantly I will take you and back to unite you with your beloved Lord Ram. But Sita Devi said, no. I was not willingly climbing on the shoulder of Ravan. He forced me. So he forcefully touched me and made me touch him. My body touched him because of his force. But I was not willing to do this. But this, if I climb on your shoulder, it is willfully I have to do that. So I cannot do that. I am the chaste wife of Lord Ram. So she exhibited her prowess of chastity. It was a very lucrative offer, right? You don't have to stay one more year in the dangerous situation, fasting and being harassed and tortured and tormented by demonesses and Ravan repeatedly again and again. So I just escaped. So a very lucrative, so-called even devotional looking proposal. I will meet my beloved Lord and be at his feet to serve him. But still she remained chaste to create a wonderful example for all of us. The second reason why she denied, because she was a wife of Kshatriya. She was very brave. She said, it is the duty of my husband to come and save me. So you go back. You are a servant of my master. He will come personally. He will defeat and kill the demons and he will personally rescue me. And I am ready to wait till time he comes. That is the honor of a Kshatrani. Before that, when they were in Chitrakoot, I want to tell you about Anasuya. She was so humble actually. She went to associate with Anasuya at the Atri Muni's ashram in Chitrakoot. Anasuya, looking at her most wonderful qualities of a lady, she offered him two things. She offered her ornaments, and she would say that whenever you will wear these ornaments, you will always remain cheerful and fresh and full of effulgence. And she also gave her Angavastra to her. And she said, in forest, maybe you will get food, may not get food. And whenever you, even if you don't get food, if you are wearing my Angavastra, you will never feel any pains of hunger, or you will never dwindle or emaciate, get emaciated. That is why Sita Devi stayed without eating anything for the whole year when she was in under the custody of Ravana. And people are wondering, you know, how a chaste lady can live without a husband. She could have died actually. But she had faith the husband will come. At the same time, she survived also because of the mercy of Anasuya Devi, whose Angavastra she was wearing. Then, she also spoke to Hanumanji when Hanumanji came and gave the news that Lord Ramchandra has killed Ravan and hold the Rakshasa dynasty, and he will come to rescue you. And he was looking at those demonesses who were surrounding her, and they were constantly ordered by Ravan to harass her, to threaten her, to give her bad news and to make her demoralized and torment her. So they constantly, for the whole year, they were 24 hours a day harassing her. So Hanuman was saying, shall I destroy all of them by my feet, by my legs, by my knees, by my ankles and by my elbows? Shall I beat them to pulp and destroy them? So Sita Devi said, no. They were simple servants of Lord Ram, Ravana. They were not doing willfully. They were doing on the order of Ravan. So now see the proof of that. They are so quiet now. Ravan is not ordering anymore. He is no more there. So why should you hurt them? This is compassion. Although being harassed by all of them throughout the year, still she never had a revengeful attitude. They could have been very well destroyed by Hanuman as a punishment, whatever they did. As Lord Ram destroyed all the Ravana's army together and relatives also, but Sita Devi forgave them and Hanumanji did not kill them. She was so pure that to exhibit her purity to the whole world, Lord Ramchandra said, now I have come to save you. I came to you, destroyed Ravan, performed my duty of rescuing you. Now, the Vedic injunction says that a lady who stays in another man's house for even one night, she cannot be accepted as a chaste wife in our house. So I cannot accept you. So you have to go wherever you want to go and prove your chastity. At that time she said, if I have ever thought of any other man, then the earth should destroy me. The fire should destroy me. I have always remained chaste. Never a thought of any other man has come to me. I always loved my Lord, always remained subservient to Him, faithful to Him, devotional to Him. My life is surrendered at His feet. O Lord of fire, Agni Dev, please devour me if I have been, you know, unchaste for even a fraction of a second, 12th part of a second. And at that time, Agni Dev, she entered. She told Lakshman to make the pile of fire. And she entered the fire. Everybody was amazed. The women were wailing. The men were shouting. Lakshman was very upset. Everybody was so pained in the heart. And she entered the fire flames. And within no time, Agni Dev appeared from there, carrying Sita Devi. And he said, see, your wife is fully chaste, 100% pure. So Lord Ramchandra accepted her. Another time, you can imagine, after going through so much of pain, to establish idealism, Maryada. Lord Ramchandra's incarnation is to establish Maryada. His Maryada Purushottam. It's not that he enjoyed and she suffered. He also suffered a lot. But because of to establish ideal behavior of a father, of a king, of a son, of a brother, of a husband, of a various roles, he had to also go through so many difficulties. So to be with the mission of the husband is one of the duties of a wife. To identify with the mission, with the duties, with the role of a husband, to adjust with the situation is also one of the part of chastity which Sita Devi exhibited. Because Lord Ramchandra was trying to exhibit the idealism, she also supported. She entered the fire and proved to the satisfaction of her husband and to the kinsmen, and she was accepted. Again, he was moving around in the kingdom after becoming king, and he heard one common man chastising his wife, I am not like Lord Ram to accept you after you have stayed one night in somebody's house. I am not like Lord Ram to accept you. Please go away. So Lord Ramchandra came home and again banished Sita. Sometimes she was pregnant. And he told Hanuman, Lakshman, please make a chariot and send her to Valmiki Muni ashram. She didn't even know that time. She thought it's a wonderful time in pregnancy to associate with sadhus and hermits. But Lakshman was crying while driving the chariot. So she was wondering what happened. And she asked him. So he said, you are not going to come back. You are going to stay forever at ashram of Valmiki Muni. She accepted that also. She questioned. She was upset. She cried. But she remained very faithful and remained at the company association of Valmiki Muni and his followers in the ashram. Later on, you all know Lav Kush were born and they came to the kingdom of Ayodhya and they sang beautifully the whole story of Ramayana. And at that time, Sita Devi was brought back. Again, when she was brought back, she said that if I am pure and I am chaste and I am virtuous, Mother Earth should deliver me immediately. So in front of the eyes of everybody, whole the Ayodhya Vasis were so saddened because of this situation. In front of everybody's eyes, you can imagine the earth cracked. The big furrow developed in the earth. She was consumed in earth. Mother Bhumi Devi actually first appeared on a singhasan decorated with beautiful snakes, celestial snakes. And she invited Sita Devi to ascend on her throne. She accepted her next to her on the throne. And they disappeared in the earth. Mother Bhumi Devi took her back to Godhead. And after that, for 13,000 years, Lord Ramchandra stayed alone, running his kingdom. And he was Ekapatni Vrata, so he also never accepted another wife. He always would make another statue of Sita Devi next to him and perform sacrifices for the benefit of mankind. So all these Sitas were called Chaya Sitas. Even before, I forgot to mention to you that when Agni Devi brought her back, the story goes in Kurma Puran, Prabhupada explains that in Kurma Puran is explained that when Shurpanakha came and challenged first and wanted to entice Lord Ram, and then she became ferocious and she wanted to attack Sita Devi. At that time, Lakshman cut her nose and ears. So she went howling back. And then Lord Ramchandra realized that she's not going to just keep quiet. She's going to bring her army and forces with her to take revenge. So at that time, in Dandakaranya, Lord Ramchandra brought Sita Devi at the Sangam of Kapila River and Godavari River. And there, he gave Sita Devi, original Sita Devi, to fire god, son Agni Dev. And Agni Dev gave him Shaya Sita, or Maya Sita, or the false Sita. And she came back to the hermitage, and there Ravan had stolen her. So at the time of Agni Pariksha, Agni Dev took back Chaya Sita and gave original Sita back to Lord Ram. This is the explanation Prabhupada gives from Kurma Puran. So you can see, also these Chaya Sitas, there were many, many events where Lord Ramchandra had made these murtis, and they were all actually persons. So Sita Devi in spiritual world requested him, there's so many different personalities, ladies served you as me, so please give them mercy. So in the next incarnation, all these Chaya Sitas became gopis and participated in Krishna's Ras Leela. There are many kinds of gopis. When Lord Ramchandra was walking through the forest, many rishis developed the conjugal mood. So they also became rishi gopis. Many Vedas became gopis, Shruti gopis, like that. So these gopis were from Ramayana and Chaya Sita. Prabhupada says that Sita Devi is, whose Radha in Krishna Leela is Sita in Ram Leela. She is also called as Rama because of she is wife of Lord Ramchandra. Parasya Shaktir Vividhai Vasruyate. She is original of all potencies of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada tells us there are so many teachings that we can learn from Ramayana. That if one is attached to his wife, he has to face so many dangers. Prabhupada explains that. So one should be not attached to his wife, but should be very duty bound and very loving. And the attachment of husband and wife should be meant for ultimate attaining the goal of life, the devotional service to the Lord. This attachment is spiritual, but attachment to the wife from bodily point of view, from material point of view, is dangerous, and that invites dangers in our life. Lord Ram was such a wonderful husband The husband should maintain protection to his wife. Lord Ram destroyed everybody to protect Sita. So chastity is not slavery, it is protection. This is what Prabhupada said. Hare Krishna. Next personality is Madhu Pandit. Madhu Pandit was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. Today is his disappearance day. In Krishna Lila, Madhu Pandit is Mandali Sakhi. Mandali Sakhi is the associate of Champaklata Devi. Champaklata Devi has got her own set of gopis who assist her. She is very expert in, amongst many, many other qualities, she is very expert in cooking. So she is, Mandali Sakhi is in Champaklata's group. Madhu Pandit was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. And also he had a god brother, Paramananda Bhattacharya. Vajranabh had installed Gopinath DT 5000 years back in Vrindavan. In the course of time, the DT disappeared. And when Madhu Pandit came with Paramananda Bhattacharya, they were all, both of them, wandering in whole Vrindavan. They were in deep ecstasy of separation from the Lord and searching for the Gopinath. Wherever they went, they could not find him. Finally, when both of them were standing at Bansiwat, at the banks of Jamuna River, with a beautiful atmosphere, they suddenly saw darshan of Lord Gopinath playing on his celestial flute. And at that time, Paramananda Bhattacharya offered Sri Gopinath's DT to Madhu Pandit, and Madhu Pandit brought it to Gopinath Bazar, where today we have Radharaman Temple and the Gopinath Bazar. There he installed Gopinath Ji and made a beautiful temple. Today also, if you go there, we have Madhu Pandit's original Samadhi in the courtyard of the temple. And he built a beautiful temple and he established worship of Lord Gopinath. A very unique thing that when Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit, they were on their, you know, the famous traveling party with books from Vrindavan to Bengal. At that time, Madhu Pandit had come with the Mahagarland of Sri Gopinath Ji, and he offered it to Srinivas Acharya as prasad of the deities to bless, as a blessing of Gopinath Ji for their wonderful activity. Our dear His Holiness Indradhunu Maharaj narrates a beautiful story in his life about his encounter with Gopinath Ji. He had come to Vrindavan and he heard that, he read from literature that how Gopinath Ji was transported to Jaipur when the Mughals, the Muslims attacked. And that time in 1739, the deity was transferred. And along with that, a coat, a full-size, life-size coat made of, very artistically made of small tulsi beads of Madhu Pandit also was transported to Jaipur. There is a coat of Madhu Pandit which is made of tulsi beads. Very, very beautifully carved and artistically made. And from 1739 to 1902, it remained in the box only. It never was opened. In 1902, the Goswamis opened and made a glass cupboard and hung it for, you know, as a museum, as a beautiful archival piece. So Indradhunu Maharaj went there and had a darshan of that, and after even so many years, the key went in and opened the door properly. The pujari was very impressed, and the pujari, Indradhunu Maharaj said that, you know, can I have darshan of this coat? Can I have a small piece? When he saw the coat, he felt that the coat belongs to this temple, you know. How should I take a piece from that? It will not look nice. So he bent down and picked up a lot of tulsi beads as Mahaprasad of Madhu Pandit and put in his pocket. And the Goswami was so happy. He said, which sampradaya do you belong? He said, I belong to International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He was so ecstatic. He said, your Guru Maharaj Prabhupada, what great work he has done. What he has done, nobody has done. So I should offer the whole coat to you. But Indradhunu Maharaj said that, you know, this coat belongs here. It is more appropriate that the coat is here and everybody comes and has darshan. I have already received the Mahaprasad of this coat. So he showed the beads he had put in his pocket from the ground which has fallen down. And he said, I will donate and I will make a temperature humidity controlled glass cupboard for this jacket, and which can be preserved for thousands of years in future to see. He said, I will sponsor this. I think in future you will see in Jaipur, temple of Gopinath Ji, you will go and see darshan of course, that jacket, but that will be also in a very well-preserved condition by the mercy of Indradhunu Maharaj. And at the end, when Indradhunu Maharaj was leaving the temple, he chanted a beautiful prayer that we all can chant together. Madusneha samayuktam prema saktam mahashayam vrindavane rasaratam vande shri madhupanditam. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Madhu Pandit, the highly magnanimous soul who is bound by strong ties of attachment in love to the divine couple. The affection that he feels as sweet as honey, therefore he is known as Madhu, is always absorbed in the highest exchange of mellows of Ras Lila here in Vrindavan. This is the prayer of Madhu Pandit, for Madhu Pandit. Time is very short, so I would like to run through the great personality, Ma Jahnava Devi, as she is known as by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas with very great love and affection and respect. She is explained by Kavi Karanapur in the Gaura Ganadev Stipika that she is the incarnation of Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is younger sister of Radharani, sister of Sridhama also. And Ananga Manjari is the expansion of Lord Balram. The Shringar Ras expansion, where he participated in Shringar Ras by becoming a gopi, by the younger sister of Radharani. So she incarnated as two personalities, Jahnava Devi and Vasudha Devi. And they are also supposed to be, Vasudha Devi is supposed to be Varuni Devi, daughter of Varuna, who came to serve Lord Balram as a beverage oozing out of the leaves of the tree. And Jahnava Devi is the expansion of Revati Devi, who is the eternal consort. So Kavi Karanapur says both things are true. Both of them got married to Lord Nityananda. Very beautiful story, Nityananda Charitamrita. Time is very short, but a very, very transcendental way Lord Nityananda Prabhu came and told, I want to get married with a daughter. So Suryadas Sarkela was a treasurer of the king that time. Sarkela is the title of the treasurer. Suryadas Pandit first refused, then repented, then Jahnava Devi fainted hearing the news that my father has rejected, because she was always dreaming of marrying with Nityananda Prabhu. Even Suryadas used to get dream of Nityananda coming and begging his daughter's hand for marriage. So she said, I don't know your caste, how can I get my daughter to you as marriage? He was repenting, Jahnava Devi fainted, and then Nityananda Prabhu was brought there. It is said that by mere transcendental smell of the body of Nityananda, Jahnava Devi came back from unconsciousness. Doctors had diagnosed that she had got something very complicated, epilepsy. She was foaming at the mouth. And as soon as the beautiful fragrance of Lord Nityananda's body entered in her nose, she woke up, and out of shyness, because she was lying on the ground, she ran in the house. And then the beautiful marriage took place of Jahnava Devi. And when Jahnava Devi was feeding Nityananda Prabhu after marriage, along with her sister Vasudha, you know, she was carrying food in hand and her cloth on the head was falling down. So two arms appeared from her shoulder, put back the cloth back in position. And this scene was observed by everybody. And Lord Nityananda immediately held her hand and accepted her also as his wife. Very beautiful narration is there in Nityananda Charitamrita. In the course of time, Vasudha Devi gave birth to two children. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had promised Nityananda, when you will get married, I will appear as your son. And nobody knew this. And Nityananda Prabhu did not tell anybody. Only when he saw Virabhadra, the first son born of Vasudha, he understood that this is the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, manifested by his mercy as my child. She also gave birth, Vasudha Devi, to a daughter called Ganga Devi. And later, she passed away very soon. And Jahnava Devi adopted one more boy called Ramchandra. And these three children, most of her youthful years, she spent in raising them in Krishna consciousness. Initially, she was famous because she was Lord Nityananda's wife. But later, her superlative Vaishnava nature was exhibited. And she became the leader of all the Vaishnavas, men and women alike. All over the Bengal, all over the Vrindavan, all over wherever she travelled, Jagannath Puri, wherever she travelled, she was celebrated as the greatest leader of Vaishnavas. Her devotion to Lord Gopinath was exemplary and deep and intense. And because of that, even people who were atheistic, who were common men, were also endeared by her also encouraged by her. She is one of the unique situation is that there is nobody in the history of Vaishnavism whom we know that their deity was made in their lifetime. But Vasu Janma Devi's devotion, intensity of surrender and example was so powerful that when she was in Jaipur, the king of Jaipur and the council of Vaishnavas, who are the leaders of Vaishnava community, they came together and accepted unanimously, officially, made a deity of Janma Devi and put it on the altar next to Lord Gopinath in her lifetime itself. We all know that she disappeared in the end of her life into the body of her own deity, Ananga Manjari, that is Janma Devi. So we can see that she is such a unique personality that she initiated great personalities, Vaishnava personalities whom we adore today also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his pastimes. They were her disciples. She also gave a lot of mercy to the three many Goswamis in Vrindavan, one of the six Goswamis, their next generation, Srinivas Acharya, Narottamdas Thakur, Shamananda Goswami, and the list of devotees enlisted in this book, Bhakti Ratnakar, whom she had given her mercy and guidance. And it is explained that whenever she would walk on the street, her effulgence was so powerful that people will fall at her feet out of awe and reverence. Non-devotees will become devotional. Devotees will shed tears and tremble in ecstasy looking at her. She was so powerful actually. And she was very lovingly called Ma Janma Devi. So all of them felt great affection as a mother from her. Devotional mother who would nourish them with the devotional sentiments and enhance their devotional progress. Another unique contribution of hers is that she created solidarity and unification amongst the various parts of Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas in UP, that is Vrindavan, and the Vaishnavas those were in Bengal. She kept very good communication. In fact, her visit, when she made visit to Vrindavan, you can see that how wonderfully she dealt with the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. And it is said that even today, whatever beautiful relationships we experience between various Vaishnava aspects of sampradayas in Bengal and in Vrindavan, lot of credit goes to her efforts, where she very, very thoughtfully, proactively, intelligently guided Vaishnavas to be united very nicely with different fractions of Vaishnavas. With her own example, she established a very high standard of worship of Sri Gopinath ji. By her own example of intense love and devotion, she established that. I would like to, with all of you, recite a prayer which Thakur Bhakti Vinod gives in his prayer book called Kalyana Karpataru. I will read that for you. He says, you all can, from your heart, offer the same prayer to her. Today is a very auspicious day of her appearance. He says, O Janma Devi, by the power of your divine qualities, be merciful to this servant of yours. Dispel this illusion which torments me and relieve me of material existence. Let me take shelter of yours at your lotus feet. You are Nityananda Shakti, the power of Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Sarupini. You are Guru and Guru of Krishna Bhakti. Please be merciful to me and grant me the shade of your lotus feet, which are like desire trees. You have delivered countless abominable sinners. Please deliver me in the same way. Today, praying for your mercy, this lowly sinner falls at your lotus feet. Ma Janma Devi ki jai. There are so many wonderful pastimes of her lifetime. Some miracle also she performed. Not she, the Lord performed for her. When she was traveling to Vrindavan, she was walking on the road and many people were falling at her feet. So some goddess Chandi worshippers were also watching. So see these fools, so ordinary Brahman's wife, and this great souls are bowing down to her. They are very great fools, they are offenders. Only if they worship and surrender to goddess Chandi, they will be relieved. So they went back to temple. Like that they were blaspheming one after another. All the devotees, Janma Devi, considering her as an ordinary person, ridiculing her. They went back to temple of goddess Chandi and prayed to Chandi that please be merciful to these foolish people and to that foolish lady also whom they are offering dandavats. Actually, you kill all of them. Then only they will be relieved of their sins. And they went away. And all of them offered this prayer to Goddess Chandi. In the night, it is said that Narahari Sarkar, I think, the author of this book, Narahari Chakravarti, says that all of them got one dream, same dream. And Goddess Chandi, with long sword shining in her hand, came angrily with red eyes like coals and chastised them that you all will be killed, your suffering will not end because I am going to cut your three heads off. You don't know who this Janava Devi is. She is my worshipable deity. I offer my dandavats to her regularly and I derive my spiritual potency from her. And you people are fools, you are offending her, you will be destroyed. The only way you will be saved if you go and surrender to her and beg for forgiveness, beg for mercy. She will relieve you of your offenses, otherwise you will be destroyed. They woke up trembling, shivering. They ran in the middle of the night and found out and fell at her feet and cried tears of repentance. And immediately she cast her mercy on them and they became devotees. At another time, in the same journey when she was going to Vrindavan, a band of dacoits noted that these Bengalis are traveling. Maybe a lot of wealth is there with them. So we will go and catch them when they dance in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They get tired, they eat prasad and they go to sleep. That time we will plunder them. So what happened? Their place and the Vaishnava's place of sleeping in the night, which they had identified, were very close actually. In 5-10 minutes it would have come. But in the night when they started walking, the road expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded. Until dawn they kept walking and they still could not find the house of the Vaishnavas. Then the leader of the Vaishnavas said, I understand that the distance of 5-10 minutes has been extended to miles and miles longer. We are definitely now understanding. I have got a realization in my heart that is Ma Janava Devi is a great devotee of the Lord and these Vaishnavas are very great devotees of the Lord. We should all go and surrender to him. My heart is telling me, please, oh my followers, oh my friends, please come, let us go and follow. So he took all the dacoits with him and they all surrendered to Janava Devi and Janava Devi made them into devotees. There are many, many miracles like this, but some few of them I told you. When there's a description of her journey from Vrindavan to Keturigram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to her. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already had disappeared before that. But he appeared to her in person and instructed her, you must go to Keturigram. Narottam Das is very, very eagerly with tears in eyes waiting for you. So encouraged by, she was in Khardaha that time when this darshan was given to her. And she immediately consoled the, bereaving. They didn't want to separate from Janava Devi, Virabhadra, Ganga Devi and Ramchandra and the Khardaha Vasis. So she consoled them and immediately left for Keturigram. On the way she went to Navadvip. Wherever she went, a long description is there. Wherever she halted, thousands of Vaishnavas, men, women alike came, offered dandavats to her. She gave prasad to them and showed her mercy. She went to Navadvip and she stayed with Srivas Pandit's house. Sri Nidhi and Sripati came to receive them. And she stayed there, ate prasadam more there. And then she went to, as soon as she went to Navadvip Dham, remembering Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she fainted. And she cried loudly and fainted. Then took bath in Ganga Devi and stayed in Srivas Pandit's house. She left from there and went to Kantak Gram. There is Katwa. And there she cooked feast for Lord Gauranga by her own. She was very famous for cooking huge transcendental feasts and feeding Vaishnavas. She did that in Katwa, fed Vaishnavas with her own hands. Then she went to Budhari village where she stayed one night. Again, descriptions are there in Budhari what happened. Then she went to Keturi. In Keturi, as soon as she went, she glanced at Narottam Das Thakur for a long time with great love and affection. And she invested, invested great amount of spiritual potency in Narottam Das Thakur. And Narottam felt ecstatic when she was staring at him. And then she cooked a huge feast. The description is there in Bhakti Ratnakar. How she cooked. And in this festival, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the divine kirtan of Narottam Das Thakur. And after that, she, with her own hands, cooked by her, the prasadam, she served all the Vaishnavas. Every single Vaishnava who had come, she served, and she, after everybody had finished prasadam, then she took the Mahaprasadam of all the devotees. And exchanges with devotees in Keturigram is very transcendental. You can see that her personality was so transcendental. And whoever came in contact with her, they become surcharged with spiritual emotions. Then, she, in the course of time, when she went to Vrindavan, she met with Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami, and few other devotees. And they were introduced to her as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is immersed in love and separation from Lord Gauranga. Bhugarbha Goswami, Loknath Goswami were immersed in separation from the Lord, wandering in the forest. And Jiva Goswami was introduced. Acharya Srinivas was introduced. She gave special mercy to Acharya Srinivas as a great Vaishnava. And then finally she gave him permission to go to take the books from there. Also, at Akrur Ghat, when she met all these Goswamis, she was told that we have made your residence. We wanted you to meet here because this is a very secluded place. And this is the very place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also stayed, to be away from the crowded places of Vrindavan. He came and stayed in Akrur Ghat. So she felt ecstatic and fainted and fell unconscious over there at Akrur Ghat in the company of all the Vaishnavas. Then she went to Vrindavan and she met so many of Vaishnavas who came to meet her. She went to seven temples of Vrindavan, Radharaman. She stayed in Gopinath temple. And she also, it is explained that at the time of when she met all the Goswamis, she also met Madhu Pandit. It's a very unique things I found, that she met Madhu Pandit at Akrur Ghat. It was also connected with today's day and also connected with Gopinath worship. And then she was told that Raghunath Das Goswami is hankering to meet her. But Raghunath Das Goswami is so emaciated and so weak because of his fastings and austerities that he is unable to walk all the way from Radhakund. So she immediately decided that she will walk and go to Radhakund. Then she came to Radhakund. It is explained that when she came to Radhakund, she shed rivers of tears when she saw Raghunath Das Goswami. And Das Goswami could not see her because he shed so many tears that he couldn't see her for a long time. And finally he fell unconscious while looking at her. He offered her Dandavat again and again. And she also offered her Dandavat again and again to Raghunath Das Goswami. And with the loving exchange that devotees experienced, they also felt ecstatic when they saw both these great Vaishnavas interacting with one another. This is our hope of life, when we see great devotees interacting, like our Gurudev with his god brothers. How much inspiration we draw when we see them interacting with each other. So Janma Devi also exhibited the same kind of transcendental mellow, interacting with fellow Vaishnavas. And then she stayed there for 4-5 days in Radhakund. And we know that there is Janma Baitak is there, very beautiful place. She had a private steps getting down the water. She performed her bhajan at Radhakund because she is Anang Manjari. There is Anang Manjari Kunj at the center of Radhakund. There is a invisible bridge and there is a private kunj of Ananga Manjari in between Radhakund. So she stayed at the banks of Radhakund, performed her divine bhajan, and then she went to Govardhan, did Govardhan Parikrama, Raghav Pandit came, and thus she spent time in Vrindavan also. So I think the time is up. I took some more time. So let us all offer our humble obeisances and prayers to Sita Devi, Madhu Pandit, and Janava Devi, that to those insignificant souls, they offer us a seed of devotion and the intensity that they have, and cast their merciful glance over all of us so that we can also even dream or attempt to make some progress in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I think time is up. So any questions are there? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.